way to be more open about what the Fed does.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says he's going to go before reporters and answer questions four times a year. Now, since it was created decades ago, there's been an air of mystery with the Federal Reserve, and the new question and answer policy is a way to make the Fed's other policymaking, like all the monetary stuff, more transparent. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Since the financial crisis, the Federal Reserve has been scrutinized by Congress and the public. Critics say it has too much autonomy, that it's too secretive. Bernanke will pull back the curtains to shed light on how the Fed makes decisions. Don Kettle is dean of the University of Maryland's School of Public Policy.
There are all kinds of risks here. There's an enormous minefield, which is why in the past the Fed has been so careful about its connections with the media, and especially in talking to reporters.
The Fed didn't even issue press releases about policy changes until the early 90s. Today, Ben Bernanke still has to worry about tipping his hand and provoking speculation about what the central bank might or might not do. Philip Swagel, a former assistant treasury secretary, says Bernanke is up to the task.
He really has a gift for taking complicated decisions and explaining them to people.
The former Princeton professor may like talking policy with the press and the public, but will the next Fed chairman? Bernanke faces the Klieg lights and the microphones at his first news conference next month. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Well, the Fed came out with a survey this week about how much families bring in here in the United States and about how Americans make less and own less than they did before the financial crisis. So what does that survey really tell us? Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York this morning, as she is every Friday. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So break this survey down for us.
Well, everybody lost in this survey, but those at the bottom lost less when it comes to income, while those at the top saw more dramatic losses in their income levels. So not spread evenly. The rich did worse.
The more money you have, the more money you lost. All right.
Right.
Everyone spends money, Jill. Does this mean people are spending money differently?
Well, now you might think that we would spend differently because of those results, but people at the bottom definitely pulled back more. They were replenishing their savings and paying down debt. But here's the big surprise. The wealthy kicked up their spending, especially on those nice luxury items. So they did not let their income levels deter them.
So bottom line, Jill, what do these numbers say about the economic recovery going forward?
Well, you know, we always hear this statistic that consumers make up 70% of the economy. That's actually important because if we don't see more people spending robustly, we continue to have this slow growth economy. And don't forget, a slow growth economy means fewer jobs created at a quick enough pace. That's what we're stuck with right now.
All right. Jill Schlesinger at CBS Money Watch in New York. Jill, thank you.
Great to be with you.
Have a great weekend. Let's do the numbers. European stock markets are higher at the moment, anywhere from a quarter to a half a percent. We've got Asian shares that rose today as well. Japan's Nikkei added about a percent. The economy in the last quarter of 2010 grew at an annual rate of just above 3%. The Commerce Department said today the nation's revised gross domestic product, or the GDP, was just about what analysts had expected. Wall Street yesterday, markets were up. The Dow tacked on 84 points, more than half a percent, to close at 12,170.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
1,500 head of top beef cattle recently arrived in Russia from Montana. A half dozen cowboys, too. It's a unique joint venture between two Russian businessmen and an American rancher. Reporter Peter Van Dyke went to see how the project is going.
Daryl Stevenson has spent most of the past 2 months in the southern Russian region of Voronezh working to create a cattle ranch out of nothing. It's nowhere near finished, which makes the Russian winter harder to deal with.
this storm today is not good at all. You can see for yourself, we can't see, but maybe 200 meters out here, and the wind is blowing, and these calves need some protection.
Back in the warmth of a Western-style bunkhouse built for his crew, Stevenson explains the sheer scale of what he and his two Russian partners are trying to do.
This will be the nucleus for establishing a commercial beef cow herd in this region of Russia, and hopefully to extend further than that.
Russia wants to produce 85% of its own meat by the year 2020. Right now, Russians eat less than half as much beef as the average American, and almost all of their beef comes from old dairy cows and is best used for soup. In the makeshift barn, more than 100 cows and calves shelter from the weather. Alexander Naritsin is the head veterinarian on the ranch. He says the $18 million project will help Russia's farmers meet the government's goal.
This is a very ambitious project, but it's necessary. In Russia right now, 1% of cattle are beef cattle, so our project is enormous, but it's a drop in the bucket.
Stevenson says the soil here is richer and the climate better for farming than back in Montana.
In 5 years, I wouldn't be surprised one bit to have 5 to 10,000 head of cattle roaming pastures within an hour's drive from this location.
That would be nothing in Stevenson's home state, but in Russia, it would be a huge step forward. In southern Russia, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, I don't know about you, but when I retire, I'm going to burn my wool sweaters. And give me a warm, sunny beach and a beer, please. But I may be in the minority. Forbes magazine says some colder weather climates have started popping up on the list of top places for seniors. Salt Lake City, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Fargo. Yes, Fargo, North Dakota came in at number 16 on the list. The city ranked high because of low tax rates and crime and the availability of doctors. Great place to live? You betcha. The complete list is at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Are you a klutz in the kitchen? Have you ever wondered what the heck is a brunoise anyway? Chef Zadi can change that for cheap at his new cooking school.
Brunoise is supposed to be 1/8 of an inch. It's a little square.
I'm Kai Rizdal, serving up a culinary school that costs way less than Le Cordon Bleu. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.